Turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and also Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 through 14. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and Philippians 3, 12 and 14. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the worship. Lord, as we've entered into your presence, Lord, with singing and joy and thankfulness, God, for all that you've done for us. I thank you, Lord, for these that have gathered here today, Lord, and I ask you to speak to us by your word and by your spirit. We honor you and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. My mama wrote Galatians 2:20 in my Bible when I was just a young kid, probably 4 or 5 years old, and she gave me my first real Bible, and she wrote Galatians 2:20 in the cover. And it became a life verse for me that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the truth is over the years, that was kind of the part that I really concentrated on, more so than the rest of the verse. But I started thinking, and a couple of weeks ago, I felt like the Lord really began to put something in my heart that it says in the Scripture that the life which I now live, the life which I now live. Can I just tell you that what's important is the life you're now living? You can't deal with the things that happened in the past, and we don't know what the future holds. What we have is now. What we have is this moment. What we have is right here. And I think that so many times we spend so much of our life looking at yesterday or thinking about tomorrow. But the fact is I can't go back and I can't see into the future. But I declare to you, I can do something now. I can live in this moment. I can accomplish what God wants me to in this moment. You know, I've lived a great life. I'm a blessed man. I'm 66 years old, about to be 67. I've flown over 2.5 million air miles. I've got a wonderful wife. I've got daughters, 2 daughters. I've got grandkids. I got the greatest friends in all of the world. You know, I've done things that I never dreamed that I would have done. If you'd have told me that I'd have traveled all over the world, I'd have laughed. I said, "There's no way." You know, I don't have that capability. I don't have any of that in me. But, I mean, my daddy didn't even like to go on vacation. Do you understand? He was one of those. He was a homebody. He thought you ought to be working, you know. And so we didn't do a lot of vacation stuff as a kid. And now here I've traveled all over the world. And so I have a good life. And what God wants us to do is get to a place where we live the life that God has for us now. And my message to you is no more excuses. No more excuses. We've got to stop making excuses for why we're not doing what God wants us to do now. You know, I came across when people have car wrecks, it's amazing some of the things they say after they've had a wreck. The excuses that come out of their mouth, you know. One person said, "An invisible car came out of nowhere and struck my car and vanished." No one said, "The other car collided with mine without warning me of its intention." Somebody said, "I'd been driving my car for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had the accident." They didn't know what they were saying. "As I reached an intersection, a hedge sprang up, obscuring my vision." Okay, this is one of my favorites. "The pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him." the next one was very similar. "The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him." Well, you know, A couple of weeks ago, I guess I was reflecting. I had a week of prayer and fasting, and I was praying about my life, and as I think we all do, as we go into new years and new seasons in our life and thinking about the things that we're doing. And so I want to ask you, what are some of the goals that you've achieved in your life? What are some things that you set up and you know that you've done those things? And then also, what are some of the goals maybe that you failed to achieve? Things that you thought you would have done by now, but you haven't done. You know, we struggle sometimes with feeling like somehow or another that I don't measure up. I don't have what it takes to do what God wants me to do. We spend so much energy, again, in making excuses. You know, do you think that there was any Bible characters that failed or struggled, you know, with any issues in their lives? You know, it started out with Adam, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, Adam said it was her, it was Eve, and Eve said it was the snake. You know, everybody wanted to blame somebody instead of taking responsibility. When the 10 spies went over to the promised land, they said, we can't take it because there's giants in the land. You know, when Gideon was approached by the Lord and said, you know, oh, great man of God, you know, he said, not me. You must be talking to somebody else. That's not who I am. And so there's always excuses. I came across this years ago. I've always loved it. There's a lot of people that say, there's so many reasons why God can't use me. You're right, but don't worry. Look at the people that God used in the Bible. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. That'll slow you down, you know. Amos was only trained in the school of fig tree pruning. Jacob was a liar. David committed adultery. Solomon was too rich. Jesus was too poor. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. And Lazarus was dead. You just don't have any excuses. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burned out. John the Baptist was a loudmouth. Martha was a worrywart. Mary was lazy. Samson had long hair. My goodness. Noah got drunk. Moses had a short fuse. Well, Peter and Paul, a bunch of them fell in that category. But aren't you glad that God doesn't require a job interview? He doesn't hire and fire like a boss. He's more our dad than he is our boss. God doesn't look at our financial statements. He's not judging. He doesn't grudge. He's not deaf to our cry or blind to our need. But the good news is God's gifts are free. You know, every one of us here, we could do wonderful things for wonderful people, and the fact is we still wouldn't be wonderful. It's not the things around us. You know, Satan looks back and says, you're not worthy. But Jesus says, so what? I am. Satan looks back and sees our mistakes, but God looks back and sees the cross. That's what changes us. That's what makes us. I believe God doesn't care what we did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It's not on the record anymore. God doesn't care about those things that affected us. But if we're in love with Him, if we hunger for Him more than our next breath, I believe He'll use us in spite of who we are, where we've been, or what we look like. I believe God wants to truly do something in us that is powerful. And so I just want to talk to you some things that were just going on in my spirit in the last few weeks, that four things to know about failure or struggling with some issues. Number one, to fail or to struggle is to not be a failure. Listen to me. Everybody fails at something. There's nobody perfect here. You know, thank God. You know, it's not perfection. It's willingness that God is looking for. You know, it's not one of those little sayings that affected me as a kid. It's not ability, it's availability that God is looking for in our life. And so the reality is to fail or struggle does not mean that you're a failure. No person is a total failure. Just because you failed at something does not mean you're a failure in life. You know, whether we measure that by academics or whether we measure that by sports or whether we measure that by success in the marketplace or whatever it is, the truth is nobody is a complete failure. The truth is to err is human. Again, every one of us, even on our best days, sometimes we've done things that we wish we hadn't have done. We zigged when we should have zagged, and we struggle with some things in our life. I believe that no person is ever a failure who tries their best. Failure is no disgrace when you've done everything that you can and know what you can. I believe that one of life's greatest failures is just to stop trying, just to quit. You know, over my life, I've seen so many people that started good. But Paul said, I finished the race. What God is looking for is finishers. You know, I've seen some of those pictures sometimes of Olympians, you know, that they came in last, but they finished. They wanted to cross the finish line. There should be something in us that I may not be able to do what other people have done, but I can do what God has called me to do. I can do it with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. And so I believe that what God is saying is don't quit trying. I've seen too many people in the last couple of years that have bailed out of situations because they just felt like they were a failure. And so they've just quit everything and they've just sat on the sidelines. And the Lord has been sparking in me. I don't want to sit on those sidelines. I want to be about the Father's business. People ask me all the time, Bill, am I going to quit traveling? No, I'm not going to quit traveling. I've done what so many of us have done in mission ministry. If I die on the way to Cuba, just lay me to rest in Cuba. You know, take me away because I'm ready. And my wife knows that, and my children knows that. I want to be about the Father's business and doing what He's called me to do as I go through. I don't believe that failure has to be the final statement of our life. I know some of us have probably heard stories. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of reading about Abraham Lincoln, okay? You know, he became such a great president, but Lincoln had endured a significant number of setbacks, of personal losses, struggles, disappointments, and seemingly failures. He lost his job in 1832. He was defeated for the legislature. He failed in business. He was elected to the legislature, and then his sweetheart died. He had a nervous breakdown in 1836. He was defeated for Speaker of the House. He was defeated for nomination for Congress. He was elected to Congress, and then he lost the renomination to be elected again. He was rejected. I read this. He was rejected for the position of land officer. I don't even know what land officer is. I mean, he's already been in Congress, and they don't want him to be the land officer. I mean, to me, that's like they don't want you to be the janitor. I mean, it's like this is low on the totem pole, okay? He was defeated for the Senate. He was defeated for the nomination of vice president in 1856. He was again defeated for the Senate in 1858. And then in 1860, he was elected President of the United States. What tenacity. I know a bunch of people that quit for far less than that. Somebody didn't like me. They didn't call me for the party. They didn't smile at me. Give me a break. You know, people say, you know, I'm not going to do anything because, you know, people just, they said something bad about me. Well, you might have deserved it. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes we do stupid things, you know, and the truth is sometimes things happen. But Lincoln persevered through all of that, okay? He was able to lead our country through the crisis of the Civil War. He was able to preserve the Union while ending slavery, charted a course for rebuilding our country. He didn't let any of his failures stop him from fulfilling his calling. In fact, it may well have been because of the failures that he was able to lead our country in such a difficult time. How's that for perspective? It's the people who have gone through stuff that I believe that can help take us to the next place. You know, when I talk to somebody and they look at me and they say, well, I've never had a problem. Well, our conversation is going to be very short. You know, because I've had a few. I've had a few issues. I've had a few things in my life that I've had to overcome, that I've had to deal with, that I've had to persevere through. But I believe it's people who have gone through something. And that's where Philippians 3, 13 and 14 comes in. I haven't apprehended that, but I'm pressing forward, forgetting those things that are behind and looking to those things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's those people who don't give up in the midst of difficulties and situations. I know that we are today faced with stuff on the left and on the right, and it seems like every day there's a new variant, Omicron and Doomicron and Thisicron, and when is it going to end? I don't know. But when it ends, I'm going to be standing, having done all to stand, and I'm going to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be what God wants us to be. So if any of you let your fears or failures stop you from living your calling, our God is greater than any of our failures and can be counted on to cause all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord and the called according to His purpose. Everybody talks about Thomas Edison and what a great inventor he was. And he was asked one time about all of his failures that he had with the light bulb. And I know we've heard this before. They said, how does it feel to have failed 1,000 times? He said, I just found 10,000 ways that it won't work. I'm not going to let those defeats define who I am. He said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. What a great quote. Edison was saying, many people who have failed didn't realize how close they were to success when they threw in the towel. I love another one of his quotes. He said, we miss a lot of opportunities because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. Oh, it's not easy sometimes to persevere when things aren't what you hoped that they would be. You know, I've told the story before, and some of y'all may remember it, but I went through a season in time that my oldest daughter had gone through a difficult time, and in the year, I guess it was 1999, right before 2000, that right before Christmas, 3 days before Christmas, she basically kidnapped our youngest daughter and stole our car and was gone for 3 days, and we didn't know where they were for 2 days. And it was horrific. We didn't know what was happening with them. We didn't know where they were. We didn't know if they were alive or dead. Brother Charles was sitting at my kitchen table at 2:00 in the morning praying with me, and it was such a great struggle. And when it was all over, you know, I had read those scriptures about what it is to be a man of God and having your family do what they're supposed to do and live the way that they're supposed to live. And I didn't feel like I measured up. And so I wrote a letter of resignation to Brother Charles Simpson because I was sitting on his board. And I wrote a letter of resignation to Gary Henley because I was sitting on the board of IOM. And I said, I don't think that I qualify. And both of them tore up my letters and said, we're not letting you resign. I didn't know they could do that. I thought, if I want to resign, bless God, you take my resignation. How dare you? I want out. I want to quit. But I had friends who said, we're not going to let you quit, Ron, because we believe there's still something in you. You can't help what your children have done or doing. You know, my daughter came back several years later in a moment of repentance and said something that was pretty awesome. She said, "Daddy," she said, "I know that you feel like you failed." But she said, "I want to tell you something." She said, "I always knew what I was supposed to do because you had taught me that." She said, "I chose to do wrong." Well, that kind of clarified things. It wasn't that I hadn't taught her. You can't control what everybody else does, you know. As ministers, sometimes, you know, we're up here and I'm like, "Let's y'all get with it. Let's do this." But every one of us have to make a decision as to what I'm going to do with what God has invested in me. And I had friends who said, "We're not going to let you resign." Boy, howdy, I'm glad for that, because I don't know what I'd do today. But because I had those friends who tore up those resignation letters, I've traveled around the world and I've been able to preach. And with the help of the Lord, I think we've touched a couple of people. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that they stood with me. And I'm trying to say to you today, I feel like that there's a lot of us that we feel that this failure, or this, and sometimes it's not even failures. The enemy causes us to feel like if we struggled with something, if we struggled with a sin, a situation, a circumstances, a relationship, if just because we struggle with it. I know that the Bible tells us that we're to love everybody. But I don't know if y'all know this, but there's some people that are hard to love. I know y'all don't know any of them, but I know a few. I tried to love them. I've even tried to like them. Sometimes that's an effort, you know? But do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? It's not just that you failed completely. It's that sometimes we feel like because we've struggled, we've sinned. Because we can't do what other people have done in a relationship or a situation. And so we struggle with some of that. I believe that God wants us to get to a place where we say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, 90% of all those, this is Paul Meyer said this, 90% of all those who fail are not actually defeated. They simply quit. Again, it's something what Edison, it's not that they're really defeated. They just throw in the towel and say, "I'm done with it." I'm going to give you a few quick things and I'll finish up. How do we restart and finish? Well, number one, first of all, accept your own shortcomings. You know, I've determined if you were perfect, you wouldn't have any friends, okay? Nobody likes a perfect person, okay? You know, where everything's all together, everything's just perfect. I mean, there are no perfect people, you know? And I want to tell you something, and this is something that God really spoke to me. You don't have to be perfect to be significant. And I want to tell you, it's better to be significant than it is to be successful. I want you to hear that. There's a lot of people who seem successful, but I think when they leave, there's not even a ripple. But then there's other people that I believe they leave a void. I was telling Bill earlier, I've been to two funerals in the last couple of weeks. One of them was a 24-year-old boy named Isaac Stallings. He's been with me on several mission trips. Started when he was 17 years old and went to Guatemala, went to Costa Rica, went to Cuba with me. Isaac looked at his daddy and said, "Daddy, don't weep. If I live," he said, "I live for the Lord. If I die, I die for the Lord." He said, "I'm ready for whatever happens." The funeral, the church was packed with people. I was thinking, here's a young boy who at 24 years old has in many ways lived more significantly than other people that are 70 years old. Because he wanted his life to make a difference. He wanted his life to count for something. One of the guys that came to the funeral said he had been in the hospital. While he was in the hospital, Isaac called him to check on him and to pray with him in the hospital. You see, I believe that sometimes we're looking for success when in fact I believe what God is looking for is us to be significant. Not significant in our own self, but significant for the kingdom of God. And to say, I'm here to do something, to make a difference in somebody's life. The story that I told earlier, what a blessing it was for me to stand last August at KMTI in Katali, Kenya, and see George Wafula, who had been part of the class that I had helped to just graduate and preach a message. And George is now the director, the East African director of everything, because he chose to follow a path that others were not following. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe that's important. Can I tell you that if you've sinned, admit it and start over again. When David committed sin, adultery, and had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed, and Nathan approached him, instead of rebelling, he asked forgiveness. It's so hard for us sometimes just to ask forgiveness. If we've sinned, confess our sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. I don't know why it's so hard for us to go through the process and just say, God, I messed up. Take responsibility for that. Start over again. The other thing, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I can forgive everybody else, but I can't forgive myself. Can I just say to you today, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, forgive yourself. Somewhere along the way, and when I say those words, I understand that that's still a struggle. You know, it's just like forgetting. You know, the Bible talks about forgive one another. We can forgive, but you don't always forget, right? But I believe that that's true about us, that we remember. And the truth is a lot of us know stuff that we've done that still nobody else knows that we've done. We're all glad that there's no little things over our head like cartoons with our thoughts so that everybody can read. Thank God that doesn't happen. But the truth is that we have to forgive ourselves. You have to forgive yourself. God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Your sins are washed away. He's cleansed us from all of our past, forgetting those things that are behind and looking to those things that are before. I believe there has to be a place that we have to forgive ourselves for what we've done, for what's happened to us. I believe we have to see that those things will not keep us. One, a great quote that I've heard years ago that Winston Churchill said, he said, success is going from failure to failure with great enthusiasm. I love it. That's what Abraham Lincoln did. He went from failure to failure with enthusiasm. He knew that there was still something. I believe that we need to do that. Think positively. Realize what you can do with God. Learn from your experience. You know, listen, people say experience is the best teacher. I'm not sure of that because there's some things I just wished I hadn't experienced, okay? But I tell you what, experience is a teacher. And we can learn from the experience. Realize that some of those things happen and we can bypass that in the future. Develop a sense of humor. Let me tell you something. You know, I tell the story when I was writing this book. One of the things I did at one church, I was in Hinesville, Georgia years ago. And I was preaching to the church, and like I'm doing today, I was standing up on the platform, and the crowd was tough. Sometimes crowds are tough, okay? And I decided I'd give them my very best evangelistic smile to win them over, okay? Only problem was I didn't pay attention to where the first step was, and I missed it. And I rolled down the steps, rolled down to the front pew at the pastor's wife's feet. And everybody was laughing at me. They were not laughing with me. They were laughing at me. It's hard to look like God's man of faith and power when you just roll down the steps and you're laid at the pastor's wife's feet. It's hard to make a comeback. Okay? But the best thing you could do is just laugh about it and enjoy it with everybody else. Just laugh. Things happen. We don't always look like we're supposed to look like. It doesn't happen the way we want it to. Develop a sense of humor. Everybody else is laughing. Laugh with them. The whole world is seemingly laughing sometimes. Laugh. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Sometimes you got to laugh at yourself. You got to laugh at your circumstances. You got to laugh at the situation that you're in. And the last thing that I say to you is do not be controlled by what has happened to you. You know, we've heard it before, we hear the words, but don't let your past determine your destiny. There's too many people that they go through something and they think, I can never achieve what God has for me. But your situation, your struggle, or seemingly failure does not determine the destiny that you have in God. And the last thing I say to you is look to Jesus, who never fails. Romans 8:31, and I love this verse. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I believe if God is for us, who can be against us? And so as we're entering into this year of uncertainty, a year that I believe holds so many things, I really believe that something the Lord has been speaking to me even the last few weeks is I believe we're entering into a new age. The Bible talks about the age and the age to come. And I believe we're entering into a new age in the things of the kingdom of God. But I believe that we need to know if God is for us, who can be against us? We can't let failures or struggles or difficulties keep us from pursuing what God has for us. And so I'm just encouraging you today, no more excuses. Stop telling God what you can't do. Stop telling God why you can't. Stop telling God why you have failed or what you have failed in. He already knows. It's no secret to Him. But even though He knew, He still has something for you to do. If God is for us, who can be against us?